And welcome back to Success Made to Last International Trendsetter Series. I'm Rick Tocchini. This series is about the art and science of marketing, its reinvention, the harnessing of rapid change, giving you, the listener, emerging ideas from around the globe to help your company create your best version. Our host is Deborah Malone, marketing pioneer and guru, highly opinionated, daring, and a trendsetter. She is the internationalist, connecting people and ideas in international advertising, media, and marketing through intelligent content. Join Deborah today in the pursuit of reshaping the future of marketing. Here's Deborah Malone.
Thanks, Rick, and welcome to another internationalist trendsetter show. Ask Iris Major to describe her role at Vodafone Business, and she'll likely tell you that she helps customers succeed in a digital world. Vodafone Business is the vibrant enterprise division of British multinational Vodafone, one of the world's largest telecommunications companies. With expertise in connectivity, the Internet of Things, and global scale, Vodafone Business serves customers of all sizes, from thousands of small to mid-sized companies, as well as large multinational customers. As global CMO and a member of the senior leadership team, Iris champions a wide variety of programs that helped to build customer trust and overcome their challenges. Today, we're talking with her about a range of topics, from the small business initiatives that she's the champion of, to being future ready, and to the changing role of the CMO. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Deborah. Lovely to be here.
Well, great. We're happy to have you. But why don't we begin? Let's begin our discussion by telling us a little bit about Vodafone Business. I understand that you're offering many aspects of connectivity for a hyper-connected world, and this ranges from everything from Internet of Things to cybersecurity. And I'm sure that all of this has been quite essential during the pandemic.
Absolutely. So Vodafone Business is part of Vodafone, a leader in technology communications with 625 million mobile customers and owned operations in 24 countries. So Vodafone Business is the B2B arm of the company. And what many people don't know is actually Vodafone Business accounts for one third of the company's revenues. And it is one key pillar of the Vodafone strategy. And we offer mobile, fixed, IoT, Internet of Things, cloud services to support the growing needs of our 10 million business customers, who range from small home offices like the flower shop around the corner from you to large multinational companies throughout the world. We're also the largest Internet of Things provider with 10 million devices in 39 countries.
Internet of Things has always fascinated me, and I'm sure you're seeing this growing. Can you talk just a little bit about what that means?
So Internet of Things is really connecting things, as it says. So we can, for example, when it comes to smart grids, so electricity, we can actually place these sensors to see if they are, think about water supply. So we can place sensors in the pipes to see if there are leaks. So it's easier to prevent leaks to happen, but also find them. For example, actually this spring, where I live, Thames Water, who is supplying our water, they came knocking our door, and it was a very difficult situation during pandemic. They found a leak, but they couldn't place it. So there was a street of houses, and it was very difficult for them to find the leak. And it took them actually weeks to do that. And if you can understand, it is not good for the consumers, but it's certainly not good for the water supply company either.
Oh, no, that's extraordinary. I mean, I think that we sometimes forget how business-to-business applications touch our lives very directly as individual consumers. And I think that that's a great example of showing how IoT technology can really make a huge difference. you also, I loved when you were describing Vodafone Business, you were saying that your customers range from the flower shop around the corner, which impressed me because you must have drone eyes everywhere to know what's on my corner right now. But I also understand that many of your customers are small businesses. And I was impressed to learn that you launched a number of new services to help them during the current crisis, which, you know, the current pandemic, which must have been extremely difficult. Could you talk a little bit about that? I'm really curious about that.
Absolutely, Deborah. So we serve more than 3 million small business customers. So really ranging from the flower shop owners to small and medium-sized companies. And this market is fast growing and is very important customer segment to us. These small and medium-sized customers particularly are the lifeline of the economy. And actually in Europe alone created around 85% of new jobs in the last 5 years. But it's these same businesses that are the hardest hit by the global COVID-19 pandemic. So we started thinking how we can best support them during this crisis. And one example of action we have taken is the launch of VHub, our digital advisory service for small and medium-sized companies looking to digitalize and rebuild their business. We really wanted to help these companies move quickly into this new area of working, supporting them in becoming smarter, faster, and more resilient, but not at the cost of their humanity. So this July, we launched the service. It's an online resource offering support for the smaller customers on the key aspects of operating in a more digitalized world, starting from how to set up a website to how to protect your business in the digital world. And when we talk to these customers, the biggest challenge they are facing today is how to find new customers. And it's not surprising if you consider, for example, the retail or hospitality industry and how they've been affected. So we are there to really trying to fast track their digital transformation journey and safeguard their resilience in the future.
Now, is this available to all Vodafone customers or to anyone at all?
So at the moment, it's available to any small customer or anyone. But at some point, we might restrict it more towards our customers because, of course, we need to see how to manage the demand, because we not only offer this online platform with a lot of bite-sized learning and training for them, but we also offer a phone support so that they can call us and we help them.
Is there a fee for this?
No, at the moment it's free.
That's wonderful. And I realize it's still early days. Do you have any idea how many people have taken advantage of this? Or it sounds like you're trying to manage demand, so it sounds like it is quite successful.
So, of course, we launched it during the summer months in Europe. We launched it in 4 countries. But we are seeing really positive early results, I would say, considering that it's still early days. And I think discussing with our customers, they very much appreciate the content. And we are, of course, constantly seeing kind of like how to develop the content and how to make it even more expansive.
No, that's wonderful. And I think our heart goes out to all small businesses who are trying to reset, you know, how they operate. But I know when we talked about you in the introduction, we talked about how you do, one of your goals, of course, is building customer trust through great insight and deep understanding of challenges. I also learned that you have a new report in the market called Future Ready, which is extraordinary, and that also debuted during the COVID crisis. And you address a number of key macro issues or macro challenges to all businesses, I'm sure, in an effort to try to help your customers. I'd love you to talk about the report, and I know it's a lengthy report, a 50-page report, but please tell us about it, and then I'd love to hear how you define a future-ready company.
Yes, sure. So yeah, we've been very, very busy this year. So Deborah, we published trends reports in Vodafone Business for quite many years now. And towards the end of last year, we really set the target to ourselves to understand in a more deeper level how different companies are reacting to these emerging trends. So earlier this year, our team conducted a survey of 1,800 businesses, collecting over 100,000 different data points. And they found a consistent set of characteristics that identified a group of future-ready businesses. So what does it mean? So these are the companies who are most confident and well-prepared for these emerging trends, challenges, and possibilities.
So what does that mean specifically? Because I know the challenges were in, what, five areas, sustainability, and forgive me for not remembering all of them.
That's all right. So what do we mean by this one? So first of all, the future-ready businesses, they make up approximately 25% of all companies. And they have six key characteristics in common. So first of all, they have a positive attitude to change. They embrace change and they are excited by the future. They're also open to new technology. So they acknowledge the power of technology to solve their business challenges. They take clear steps towards business transformation. So they have a roadmap in place for how technology can transform their business. They set a detailed strategy. So they have a wider business strategy for the future that is documented, it's specific, funded, and measured. They also keep up to date with relevant trends and uncertainties. So they have clearly identified the forces that are shaping their business. And they refer to key thought leaders to help them. But last, but actually really importantly and interestingly, they are adaptable. So they can react quickly to new trends or challenges, and they're actually quicker to market than their competitors. And this is actually really interesting for me because we then conducted a second survey this spring to really see if pandemic has changed how companies are approaching the trends and how they're behaving. And what we found is that, first of all, the percentage of future-ready businesses remained the same. But what we saw is that the future-ready businesses, they seem to have been better prepared because they reported fewer negative impacts on their business.
Interesting. That is quite interesting because I think we all talk about how no one could prepare for a pandemic, particularly with the economic consequences. I think we were very lucky that technology was available to enable us all to work from home, or it would have been a disastrous consequence.
No, absolutely. And if I may elaborate on that point, it's a very, very good point, Deborah. I think these future-ready businesses, first of all, they had documented their business continuity and disaster recovery plans better than others. Mm-hmm. But also what they did is that they actually saw a positive effect when it comes to communication and innovation of their people. And they also really started to support the communities around them. So I think they were very much focused on supporting their people and reacting to the crisis in a very quick way.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I'm assuming that one of the things that you're trying to do for your customers is to help enable them to be more future ready through not only communications, but I would say through all aspects of connectivity.
Absolutely, Deborah. And well, the good news is indeed that any business can become a future-ready business. They just need to have the right mindset and behaviors. And we have published this report in an effort to help companies to learn and adapt. And obviously, as I mentioned, for example, for the smaller businesses, we are offering the digital advisory service, VHOP, to really support them to become future-ready businesses.
That's amazing. And, you know, I just wanted to make a point about how Vodafone Business is indeed a worldwide company. I think that so many people do know the consumer side of Vodafone when they travel in the UK or when they roam. Not that anyone's roaming too much now.
Yes.
throughout Europe, but your business is also in the US as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We have business in the US and we actually serve a lot of US multinational businesses throughout the European operations as well. And we have a lot of Internet of Things customers in the US as well.
You know, I'm sure, given that is one of the things to that everyone is thinking about. I just can't wait for my refrigerator to not only tell me what's missing for a certain recipe, but to actually go shopping for me, which might
be amazing, right?
Well, you don't know. You could send a robot. You never know.
Absolutely. I have seen the robots. I'm actually, of course, we've had a lot of demos of robots delivering food services and all that. So,
yes, now the touchless pizza, as they call it. Let's segue a little bit, because I'm fascinated in that you operate at the intersection of marketing and technology. And so much of our audience has said that is one of their greatest challenges, keeping up with both technology and how quickly, you know, marketing changes and media options and so on. So given that you've been doing this for a long time, I'd love to know the advice that you have for them. You know, I realize we're talking about a very big subject, so I don't know if that means better understanding data or rethinking metrics, but I'd love to hear your take on that intersection.
Oh, interesting. Deborah, I'm very passionate about this one, this particular topic. First of all, I think it starts with removing the sense, which is all too prevalent today, unfortunately, that technology is in control of us.
Okay.
When we use technology, it must be in a purposeful and thoughtful way so that it serves us rather than the other way around. And I believe that we in marketing are in the best place to actually use technology and data to our advantage and show that we can help shape the direction of business. For example, we understand what customer data is useful and what information is just noise. And if you think about the daily struggle many of us have, trying to find the balance between science and art, which goes with our profession, with data we can actually be more creative. We can explain the more creative side and purpose-driven choices that we're making. And also we can prove our effectiveness to our board colleagues. So my advice to all marketeers is to really embrace data and use it to earn the seat at the leadership table. We have certainly deserved and earned that one.
No, that's for sure. I'm certainly a big believer, as I think some people realize, that marketing can make a world of difference. And that doesn't only mean doing good. It also means that marketing at the heart of an organization can make a tremendous difference to how that organization is united, perceived, and so on. Sometimes I think of marketing as both the head and the heart of the organization. But then again, I'm certainly prejudiced. But
Deborah, that is beautifully said. Beautifully said. And if I may on that one, it's really resonated with me because so I joined Vodafone Business just over 2 years ago, and my first task from our then CEO was do something with the brand. So within just months, what we actually did is we relaunched as Vodafone Business. So that was the first time we went to the market with a Vodafone Business brand. And to your point, what I actually didn't even realize what happened is, first of all, we used a lot of data. We used data to explain why we needed the brand, why it was really important for us to show our customers that we actually do business to business as well and not just consumers in Vodafone. So we used data throughout the process. But in the end, launching Vodafone Business, I've seen, is the hearts and minds of our own people. It really lifted the spirit of the business-to-business arm of the company. And it's been wonderful to see that one.
Oh no, that's amazing. I also know how true that can be, in that we do look at a lot of case studies of companies that have done just that. And oddly enough, I did a presentation for the ANA audience yesterday on this very topic. So we'll have to include your case study in that as well. But I'd love to talk just a little bit about data, because you are sitting in Europe, and data has become quite an issue with some of the restrictions of GDPR. I think GDPR has turned out to be less restrictive than a lot of people first imagined in the gathering of first-party data. But I would imagine in a B2B sense, people might better understand the need to share certain things. So if you could talk a little bit more deeply about data, I know a lot of people would love to figure out how to navigate that area.
No, absolutely. I think, first of all, for Vodafone, what is really, really important for us as a company and what we believe in is our customers, whether it's consumers or B2B customers, privacy and security. Mm-hmm. So that's at the heart of everything we do. And whenever we talk about our own data, we ensure that we keep the privacy and security of our customers in mind, and we anonymize data. And I actually think when GDPR happened, I think all marketers were like, oh my God, you know, now we don't have any data anymore and we can't actually approach our customers. I think we've seen that we can do it. And I think it's actually, we become even more creative. And I think you can do a lot with anonymized data as well. And you just need to be clever in actually combining first party data and third party data. Mm. I am personally as well, very much in favor of privacy and security of our customers and everybody. So that is something that we are always very conscious of. And I actually do believe that even with the current restrictions, we still have so much data available that we can use and in a safe way.
Yeah, and I think that might be part of the transition. Just because something is measurable doesn't mean that it's always useful to what you actually need. So I know that we have a long way to go in terms of figuring some of that out. But I must say, I am tremendously impressed by your future-ready efforts, as well as what you're doing for small business. I do think it's wonderful to support your customers that way. And let me just ask one final question as the time moves along here. But is there something that you personally or Vodafone Business learned from the crisis that you did not expect?
Well, I certainly didn't expect to miss my daily commute. joking aside, you know, as a CMO, it's my job to preach to people the importance of communication. And it really comes with a job to understand how communication is important to people, your employees, but also your customers. And I think I have to admit that I relearned the importance of communication during this crisis period, because it's almost like over communication has been important. So you really needed to be in touch with your own people more than ever before. We've just introduced. I've had one-on-ones with my team members every week across my 100 or so team, and also we have bi-weekly meetings. We're just constantly communicating. Is so important when you don't have this corridor chat, this kind of like unofficial means of communication. So I think that is something personally I have to say, as a CMO, I relearned the importance of communication. As a company, I think it's been incredible to see how fast we all needed to adapt. And for Vodafone and Vodafone Business, first of all, of course, it was very important to keep our own employees safe, but also to keep our customers connected. Absolutely critical. And especially because we are serving critical national infrastructures. So almost overnight, we had to turn our call center agents to work from home. And we've been needing to upgrade our networks to actually keep the network serving our customers. So I think what we really learned is that most from this crisis is that for decades, many companies, we've moved and innovated at a very comfortable pace. And then we see this paradigm shift. And we are moving from working in time frames of years, months, to weeks, and sometimes days. So I think industries who hadn't embraced technology are definitely seeking to move swiftly into digitalization now. And we're really seeing this within Vodafone itself in all aspects of our business as well.
No, I can understand that. It's funny because so many people are talking about different perceptions of time now. And someone said to me the other day that, 48 hours is now the new long-term planning. And I've personally written a number of pieces about how in the last 6 months we've actually accelerated a decade in terms of the way we've used technology. But I think something else interesting is going on at the same time. And I think we're seeing a little bit more of a humanization of business. And I think that some of the things that you're doing do point to that.
Deborah, absolutely. It's something that I fully agree with you. And I think it's something that we've discussed a lot, and especially with our Vodafone Business CEO. He's such a big believer in general about humanization of technology and businesses. And yeah, I think we are all seeing that.
Well, it is a pleasure to talk with a kindred spirit in the marketing world, and I've enjoyed it very much, and I'd love to have you back to talk about more of the things that you're doing. So thank you so much for being part of this, and I look forward to talking with you again.
Thank you very much, Debra.
Thanks, Iris, for being part of today's show and for playing an essential role in our marketing and communications industry. Now back to Rick.
And thanks for joining us for another Internationalist Trendsetter Show hosted by Deborah Malone. To get further information on today's topic, visit the-internationalist.com, your trusted source for innovative marketing trends, best practices, aspiring to create new world standards. Have a great week.
This show is brought to you by Success Made to Last. Success Made to Last is a multimedia company with a focus on you and releasing your full potential. If you want to find out more information about all the programs associated with this company, go to successmadetolast.com.